The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. I'm man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is a blazing hot Thursday in the Delaware Valley, and I don't know where to turn. First of all, let me introduce you to Hat Day on the Mike Missinelli Show. Thursday, I usually take out a cap, and this happens to coincide with a special Flyers Day here at 97.5 The Fanatic, because all day on this station and on this show, we are going to give out a Flyers playoff t-shirt every hour. That's right. To help the Flyers of Philadelphia celebrate the return of hockey, we're giving away a Flyers playoff t-shirt every hour. And wait for your cue to call the contest line and grab yourself a Flyers tee when we tell you what number the call must be. So, on that note, let's go down the path of weariness. And the path of weariness is, because I get the questions all over, Mike, you think baseball is going to finish? Mike, you think football season is going to come about? And I go, you know what? This is like an everyday situation. So let's catch up on what has happened recently. The Tampa Bay Rays do not want to come to Philadelphia. So that weekend series, you thought you were going to get a doubleheader. Or excuse me, the Blue Jays, the Toronto Blue Jays, not Tampa Bay Rays. The Toronto Blue Jays do not want to come to Philadelphia. Because they feel they're walking into a tainted clubhouse after what the Marlins left. So now we get the situation where you're going to have to make up games. And I was saying yesterday, you know, the Marlins could be the example that you have to eliminate. You got to kind of cut out the rotten part of the apple and hope the apple survives the rest of the time. And it's too bad for the Marlins because they had an outbreak. 17 people are affected here. Now, when we look at the Phillies, it's not quite an outbreak. Then what we have learned is that one coach, and it's most likely pitching coach Brian Price, and a visiting clubhouse guy tested positive. Now, that's not quite an outbreak, but we still don't have the incubation period over, so we don't know what's coming down the pike. And because the Blue Jays don't know what's coming down the pike, they go, we're not coming. It's just like the people that Washington didn't want to go to Miami. And you're going to have all these players making these decisions backed by the strength of their players' association. So what is it going to be? Like, do you think that this Miami Marlins thing is the only thing that's going to happen to baseball? Do you sense that there's going to be another outbreak coming way down the pike? And how does baseball handle it? And right now, it looks like they're going to handle it by saying, okay, well, you had the right not to play. And we don't have the time to make up these games. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to finish the season, and we'll just have to do it on winning percentage. And that turns the game into a joke. So I ask you, do you even want that at this point? Are you, the excitement of a starting your baseball season, has it been replaced by the weariness of worrying about whether they're going to be able to pull this off? And I talk to a lot of people who seem to be weary about that. But let's take it another step. Because now you got football. And with this baseball example, everybody's asking the same question. Well, how is football going to be able to pull this off? When it looks like football would be in more in danger of catching this virus because of the collision of players, because of the exchange of body fluids, all that kind of stuff. And so, like, what do you do if you're the NFL? And I've thought about the NFL right now, what they're thinking. And I'll throw it to you, Tyrone. Do you think the NFL, now they are stubborn in their ways. They actually believe they can pull this off. There are guys opting out left and right in this league. The NFL to survive, do you believe the NFL to survive this has to put forth some kind of a bubble situation?
I do. And they can have some level of flexibility if they so choose, because you only play once a week. But I think they have to have at least a temporary bubble every single week. And also, I ask you, they have 32 teams playing in 32 different cities.
Mm-hmm.
They already made the league rule that whatever your state says, whatever, there'll be no fans. At least that's what the thinking's going to be.
Right.
There's going to be no fans. Why do you need to play everywhere? Like, why does Seattle need to come here at some point? Why does the Eagles have to go to Dallas? Maybe what they need to do is streamline the number of cities, work it out. They still have some time, and they definitely have the damn money. We're going to play NFC East games here. We're going to do each division. They need to make a number of, to me, mini bubbles with comprehensive testing.
Okay. How many bubbles do they need? So the NHL pulled this off by going, we've got two, right?
In Canada.
Yes.
I think you need four bubbles.
You need four in the NFL.
Four bubbles. Kind of strategically placed, and what you have to do is daily testing, and you have to probably spend the money to test family members as well. And I think that's the only way to pull it off.
And you have to stagger the games to the point where maybe you play two on Saturday, two on Sunday at each site, right? I don't know how it works out mathematically.
Yeah, something along those lines.
I got a feel that the NFL now has to see the landscape on this. And see that, like, there are going to be more guys bailing out as this news of baseball affects these players. More of these NFL players are going to be bailing out unless the league acts to say, okay, that plan probably is unrealistic. So we're going to do this plan. Now, you still have the right to opt out because you're going to be in this bubble now, which means you might be away from your family. You know, if they pull it off that way, you can't bring your family. I don't know how it would be done.
If they had some force like the NBA, they're right now, they're family free.
Yes.
After a certain amount of time with the bubble, family will be allowed to come after they're tested, and then they have to go into the bubble. I think it would be something like Carson. You could bring two people, meaning your little baby and your wife. They can come, but aunts, uncles, like every person basically can bring two people. So you have a 53-man roster.
Yeah.
Plus coach, we could put 140 people in this bubble, or we have a cap, 150 from each team. We're going into these individual pods, and that's that. So you can't have extended family, but if you have, it's going to be a challenge, though. Kids in school, stuff like that. But I don't know how you do it otherwise, Mike.
I agree. I don't know. It would be pigheaded of them to just ignore this whole thing and just to try to proceed with the way they're trying to proceed in light of what's going on with baseball. And we haven't seen the worst of baseball, I don't think. So they have to be, I think, proactive. Now, I know it's not a lot of time to put this together, but I got to think that the people cover the NFL and the NFL office, they need to get some information out on this. Because the fans are now, you know, the fans are demoralized. It's amazing how they have gone from being excited about sports being started to being demoralized. Like, the only question people ask is, are they going to be able to pull this off? And most of the people are just not optimistic that they can pull this thing off. So if you want football, it's going to have to be presented in a different way, or it's going to get just as messy, if not messier, than the situation that we're seeing in baseball. So your views on that, I don't know where you are as a fan on this. The people I talk to are just weary, and they go, you know, whatever, at this point. The landscape is so altered that it's hard to get a grip on the reality of sports, that whether sports is even a reality in this changed mode that they're trying to present it. So we'll talk about that. And for the record, for your weekend entertainment, I was looking forward to a Phillies doubleheader, actually, but that's now out of the picture. So Saturday, Sixers-Pacers start the NBA season. The NBA season starts tonight with a couple of games on TV. I'm excited to watch those games, especially the nightcap game with the Clips and Lakers.
Big game.
Yes.
You're right.
And so we'll have to wait till Saturday with the Sixers, Pacers, and then Flyers get after it on Sunday against the Bruins. So we finally got that starting right there, right in front of us. At least we'll have a weekend. So here's the deal with the Flyers. They have the Flyer hat on. We're going to give away Flyer t-shirts, playoff t-shirts all day. And we're also going to conduct, in honor of Flyers, Ty, a Flyers draft.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Yes. Us versus the audience.
Yes.
On assembling a Flyer team. Now, this is interesting because when you take a forward, we'll make it easy. And you don't have to take like a center, right wing, left wing. So if you take a forward, you can play him on the same line. It doesn't really matter. But you also have to stock your team with a couple goalies, defensemen, people like. So you got to think outside the box here when you're making a selection for your overall team to have a quality forward line, defense, goalie.
This is going to be the most challenging one for me.
Yeah, this is good.
Because I have some Flyers favorites, just like all Flyers fans. And sometimes the Flyers favorites are not the best players. So I have to do my Flyers filter.
Yes, you do.
Which is hard for me to do. I have to take out some of my favorite guys from growing up.
That's right, because you have to assemble quality.
Right.
Rather than, I like this guy.
Right. It's tough for me with the
Flyers. All right, so we'll have some fun with that today. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. What is your current spin on the state of baseball and football? It looks like the NBA and NHL are going to pull it off. But those other two sports, outdoor sports, different concept, no bubble. How are they going to pull it off? How do you feel about it? Does the NFL need a bubble to survive? It's the Mike Missinelli Show. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
This is a beautiful man coming up, and we haven't talked to him in a while, but he is, of course, a staple on this particular program on Tuesdays as the football season is coming into fruition here. Let's talk to the man who covers the NFL for ESPN, one of the great reporters in America. He's brought to us by Parks Casino. He is the one, the only, Sal Palantonio. Hello, Sal.
Michael. How you doing, brother?
Well, we're doing good. Let me get right out of the chute. What's kicking around the NFL offices right now in light of what the baseball situation is?
Yeah. Well, Dr. Alan Sills, the chief medical director of the NFL, said today, quote, "I am cautiously optimistic that the NFL season will start on time." And I disagree with him. I am very optimistic that the season will start on time. I think the NFL is doing the right thing. I think that the protocol program that they put into place in terms of testing and retesting, which, by the way, was forced by the players, some of the senior players, mm-hmm. guys like Richard Sherman, J.J. Watt, your boy Carson Wentz, all of these senior players who have a lot at stake pushed for constant testing and monitoring. And the NFL's plan, I think, is a good one. Now, I think what happened with the Marlins, Michael, scared a lot of these athletes straight. Now, it's very bad what happened to the Marlins. It's much, much, much worse than even the most dire predictions, because nobody wants an entire team wiped out. No matter how it was done, it's sad. It's got to be fixed. And the baseball figured out that some of these players, some athletes, some people just won't do the right thing, and they have to be monitored. That's why Andrew Cuomo's got 90% approval ratings. I mean, come on. So, I think now a lot of athletes are saying it's our personal responsibility. We have a stake in this to do the right thing. We not only lose face and we lose our reputations, we lose money, and so does our families, and we jeopardize our sport. And so I think a lot of players look at that situation and say, okay, now I know I got what I got to do.
All right, so you're suggesting that they will have learned from this that they go to practice or they go to the locker room, they wear the mask in the locker room, they go to practice, they go straight home, they don't go out at all, and that means their families can't go out either, right?
Right, so you used the word lesson, and I have avoided that word, but it's true. It's a very, very painful lesson to have to learn it this way, right? No question. We can agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, it is a lesson learned. And talking to players and coaches around the league, it's pretty clear they've seen exactly what's happened to the Marlins and by extension to the Phillies and to some other teams, the Yankees, and how it could have gone way down the line if it wasn't detected in time and isolated. And so, listen, there's a lot of people who are in the military right now who are saying to themselves, you know what, this is what you do. You hunker down, you're separated from your family, you make sacrifices, and they're not getting paid what these athletes are getting paid, and you do what's necessary in order to protect you and your family from whatever's out there. There's an old proverb in the military, right? And, you know, I like the ladies on you all the time. I'm trying to impress you, Michael. Let's just put it right, of course.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But this is something my first...
Whatever happened to not saluting an officer when he leaves the room? That's you. Every time I'm around you, you leave the room, I salute you.
And we had this thing hanging up in the classroom in San Diego when I first got into the Navy. And there was a sign. It was from Nimitz, Admiral Nimitz, World War II. Quote, very few plans survive contact with the enemy. Ipso facto, you got to be flexible. You got to be ready to come on the Mike Missinelli program on Thursday instead of Tuesday. You got to be vigilant.
All right, so let's get to because these players, are you suggesting that they have to live away from their families?
No, I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting that they have to do the right thing by not going to those places.
Okay, that's the right thing. Here's the other thing they can't control. I don't know what's going to happen with schools. Suppose schools are open. Yeah. The kids go in. They're with people that aren't being tested every day. Teachers, whoever, families, they have a kid. So they're not being tested every day. How could they possibly keep themselves, even if they don't go out to clubs or restaurants or whatever, how could they keep themselves away from the possible transmission when others in their family aren't staying in the bubble either?
Right, so that's it. You know, the NFL and MLB have decided no bubble. So you have to be constantly vigilant, and you have to be flexible. I think there's so many variables, right? I believe the NFL will start on time. I said to you about a month ago, I said, training camp, Mike, will start on time, and the league will start on time. We haven't talked since June.
Yes.
You and I said it in June, training camp will start on time and the NFL will start on time. Now, will they complete a full season, which is what you're driving at, will depend on a lot of luck and a lot of vigilance and a lot of flexibility. Now, you see guys opting out and people are alarmed by the numbers. Well, I don't think you really should be alarmed by the numbers. You got 32 teams, 80 roster spots. That's 2,560 guys in camp. Right now, you've only had about 50-plus players opt out. That's not even 5%. That's a very, very, very low number. Now, we still have 6 days for guys to opt out, but I don't think we'll even get to 5% of those guys opting out of 2,560. So the roster sizes are large enough. See, they put a lot of Richard Sherman, Troy Vincent, the leaders of the management council of the NFL, the leaders, the NFLPA, have got a pretty good plan, Mike. They really do.
All right. I get it. But now, I know this has all been agreed to. Is it possible, in light of this baseball situation, and I believe the baseball situation is going to get worse. All right, it hasn't been a great deal. Okay, so have the NFL call an audible and say, you guys, in order to maintain this protocol that we're trying to save, you all live in hotels.
Well, I don't know if that'll happen because the players have already agreed that they don't want to do that.
Okay.
So I have not heard that as an option, no.
All right.
But, you know, here's the real big thing, right? What happened with the Marlins happened on the road. So mm-hmm. what happens during the season when these players go on the road? And that's why I come back to, I think a lot of players in the NFL were scared straight by what happened.
All right, so they're almost more protected on the road because they're going to be more isolated. If they had the mentality yeah. not going out, then they're in hotels or isolated.
Yep, but you're going to have to isolate all the staff in that hotel. All the hotel yeah. staff's going to have to be tested. I mean, going on the road for an NFL team, a lot of variables. Roster sizes are almost double.
Yeah.
You got a lot of possibilities. You got an infinite perimeter that you're fighting here, and it's going to be very, very difficult to do. Mm. But they have a good plan in place. Let me throw this thing at you that nobody is thinking about. And I got to tell you, there's some guys that, you know, we're familiar with that are thinking about it. And that's people who put down a lot of money on these games. When are they going to test right up to the game? When does that test take place? Saturday, Friday, Sunday morning? When is it released? How reliable it is? Is it when does the roster change if a guy tests positive? I mean, that is, to me, when you're talking about, you know, gambling is a billion-dollar industry in the NFL.
Yeah.
So is fantasy football. Big, big numbers. When are they going to test before the games, and when are they going to release that information?
Interesting. It's very interesting. All right, so we got to take a break, but one last question. Your thoughts on the Carson Wentz snub on that top 100 list.
Michael, they gave Ryan Tannehill a spot.
They did, and they also gave Josh Allen and Kyler Murray, who's been in the league for half an hour, ahead of them.
I'm looking at this list. I mean, would you take Kyler Murray over Carson? No.
Yeah, we were doing this yesterday. You wouldn't take Tannehill over me either.
I wouldn't take Kirk Cousins. I would never take Dak Prescott.
Yeah,
over
that
Carson.
Seems to be a test. And
I wouldn't take Jimmy G over Carson.
No, and he's 43rd.
I wouldn't take Deshaun Watson over him. I'd take Aaron Rodgers, Brady.
Deshaun Watson would make me think a little bit. I'll be honest with you.
Breeze, no, I wouldn't.
All right, so you think it's preposterous?
It's a total joke. It's a total joke. And apparently, they released the 10 guys who just missed the cut.
Oh, really?
That?
No, he wasn't one of those?
The 10 guys who missed the cut, and he wasn't one of the
10. Get out of here. I didn't see that. That's interesting.
Look that up. Look that up.
All right, yeah. Brother, listen. Great stuff. We'll look forward to talking to you every Tuesday.
Carson Wentz is in the top five for me. Top five
in the NFL. All right. Let me look. I'll have to look at that. I'll check that. All right, man. We'll talk to you. Sal Pal. Top five, huh?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.